Nightmare for people that had to try to prepare for him because he had unique skills.
Just go get the quarterback. I felt sorry for some of those poor tackles that came in and had to go against him because they didn't realize what they were getting themselves into.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Lights out.
Sacking the cornerback is just like you devastate a city, or you cream a multitude of people. I mean, it's just like you put all offensive players in one bag, and I just take a baseball bat and beat on the bag. So each time he came over there, I tried to tear his damn head off.
Let's play some football. Let's play some football.
The pressure is on. This is Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Focus on what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Think about that. Don't think about how you feel, how tired you are, how hot it is. You got to push yourself on the field when you're playing football.
It's my honor to present the National Championship Trophy to Coach Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
To me, this is the ultimate team. All these guys bought into everything they needed to do to be the best players that they could be. There's more togetherness on this team than almost any team that we've ever had. And they had to overcome and persevere so much adversity through this season, and they've done it magnificently. And I'm so proud of this group for what they've been able to accomplish in going undefeated and winning the national championship.
Streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and the Tide 100.9 app. Here is your host of Off the Edge, Jacob Harrison.
Hello there, good morning, welcome in to Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. It is NFL Draft Week. I'm excited. This is what it's all about, right? This is the penultimate moment for everybody that comes to Alabama to play football. 39 first-round draft picks in the Nick Saban era. 39. And it'll be at least 41 by the end of the weekend. By the end of Thursday, for that matter. That's what it's all about. We talk about it every time we talk about recruiting, we talk about NIL, or we talk about, you know, what these kids do on Saturdays. When it comes down to it, they came to Tuscaloosa, yeah, to win championships, yeah, for NIL money, yeah, for, you know, to play in a certain scheme that works for them, and so on. And, yeah, for some, it is just to wear the crimson uniform. But at the end of the day, is to get to the NFL. And that's what's so fun about the NFL and the NFL draft is every once in a while, you come across a draft class like this one where you don't have a single solitary clue what the hell's going to happen. We are 4 days away from the NFL draft, and we have no idea who the first overall pick is. When was the last time that happened? Baker Mayfield, maybe? Maybe? I don't remember. What was the consensus on that? Because I thought for a long time before the draft, unlike a lot of people, that was the pick. So I was not shocked once it was kind of revealed on that. But that's the last time I can remember the first overall pick not being solidified.
Yeah, because I seem to remember that year. And look, even that information, if I remember right, came out before the draft, but it was just like the day of, or maybe the day before, that kind of started to pick up some steam. So, like, I mean, this is unprecedented almost.
It's crazy. For a long time, it was Kayvon Thibodeau. Before the end of the NFL season, it was Kayvon Thibodeau. And then it was Aiden Hutchinson for a short while he was in the Heisman discussion. And then the Jaguars solidified themselves as the team that will be selecting with the first overall pick. And then it was, hey, it's Evan Neal. It's Evan Neal. I mean, Cam Robinson's not coming back. It's Evan Neal. Then they franchise tag Cam Robinson. Some folks like myself continued to argue why it made a lot of sense for the Jags to continue to want to take Evan Neal with the first overall pick and let him be the first Crimson Tide player selected with the first overall pick since 1948. Give Nick Saban one of those final firsts that he deserves and allow him to do it 2 years in a row, because next year it's Bryce Young or Will Anderson. You don't need a crystal ball for that. Unfortunately, would not appear to be the case, because not long after Cam Robinson signed his franchise tag, it shifted back to Aiden Hutchinson, who had 7.5 sacks last year for that vaunted Georgia defense. It's not a lot. Trevon Walker is expected to be the first overall pick in the NFL draft. Now, of course, because I knew this would happen, because if I would have done my mock draft today, it would not have gotten done, right? Plus, I would have had to figure something else to talk about during the show today. So I wrote my mock draft yesterday, made the selections yesterday. You know, I spent most of my Sunday doing this mock draft, and I enjoyed it. It was the most fun I had doing a mock draft throughout the entire process, because it was the way that I like to do it. I pulled up Peter Schrager's most recent mock draft. I pulled up Daniel Jeremiah's most recent mock draft. I even pulled up a mock draft from the Draft Network that was based on the odds, right? If a team was slated to be in favor of taking a certain position or a certain player or what have you, then that was the pick. It wasn't so much the thought of the writer. So I thought that was a really cool, interesting thing to plug in and weigh in on my decisions. And I allowed that to build the mock draft for itself. So, of course, every mock draft under the sun has Aiden Hutchinson as the first overall pick, and every mock draft under the sun has Trevon Walker going in the top five. So it worked out, and I threw Trevon Walker to the Detroit Lions with the second overall pick. Now, here's the thing. With the noise that has begun to come forth because of that, I think there's a smoke screen here. I think we have gone too long into this draft process without an obvious smoke screen. I was telling Mason before the show started, last year, Gary Harris and I argued for weeks about the possibility of Mac Jones going to the San Francisco 49ers, and I stood firm. Now, I was wrong on who the eventual pick was. I thought it'd be Justin Fields, but I was at least right that it wasn't Mac Jones, because it was one of the most obvious smoke screens to me. One of the most obvious smoke screens I'd ever seen. And this year, there's just not a lot of obvious smoke screens. And now I think I've finally figured one out a little bit. And it's this Trevon Walker thing. He's not a bad football player. He's very much worth a top five pick. It's not that's crazy to me. It's just the volatile nature of his rise, right? He was a top 15 pick for a long time, then a top 10. It's like, okay, cool. Yeah, it makes sense. Now it's number one. That's not how this works. That's not how the force works, right? That's not how any of this works. But rising to the number two overall pick and buying into that smokescreen, I mean, the Detroit Lions would buy into such a smokescreen. They'd get a great player, but not an elite player because of it. And I wonder if maybe the Houston Texans, who probably went into this year, into last season, thinking, almost knowing that they'd have the first overall pick, but instead somehow another team in their own division was worse than them, and then the Detroit Lions were unbelievably terrible. They probably had their eye on Kayvon Thibodeau for a long time. That's, of course, where I have Thibodeau going in my mock draft,
because that's what makes sense to me. There is a strong possibility that that's where you see Evan Neal go. There's a strong possibility that's where you see Ike Ekwonu. I even saw somebody today try to bring back – it was Matt Miller. Matt Miller tried to bring back the Ike Ekwonu to the Jags thing. Like, that's been dead for a long time. That was barely a thing right before the NFL Combine, and then Evan Neal got to the Combine, and it died. It was done. Nobody was even – it hasn't been entertained since. So, like I said, it's been a very volatile and very roller coaster-esque kind of draft season, and it makes it even more exciting. It's just a shame that there's not enough Alabama Crimson Tide guys in that space, in that top five space. Because I think we as Alabama fans are going to have an early night, right? I think, you know, if you join us this Thursday during the live show, we're going to get to the 10th overall pick, and that's going to be the end of our night. We'll be on the air. We'll do the whole draft. Because who knows? I mean, the Lions have that 32nd overall pick. But I don't see either Evan Neal or Jameson Williams getting out of the top 10. Now, it's possible Jameson Williams goes much later than that. I don't anticipate that. I look at everything that the Jets are, everything that the Jets have tried to do this offseason, and everything that Jameson Williams is, and compare him to the trends of the past. Compare him to Ja'Marr Chase and Jaylen Waddle, and compare him to Henry Ruggs. Compare all those situations where these classes have fantastic wide receivers in them. Who tends to go first? It's the speedy guy. It's the guy with all the tools. It's the dynamic one who makes the plays. It's not the old reliable guy. Now, Garrett Wilson is far from not explosive, right? He's an elite playmaker who's going to make a lot of money in this league by being an elite wide receiver. But out of the box, Jameson Williams is something different for any team. You look around the league. You look in comment sections involving Jameson Williams. You look through your Twitter feed that's diverse with many different types of NFL fans. If that's not how your Twitter feed looks, I encourage you to change that because it makes Twitter a lot more fun. You look through that. There is not a single team in this NFL draft, in the NFL, period, whether they pick in the first round or not, that wouldn't love to have Jameson Williams. How many players in the NFL draft can you say about that? Or say that about, rather. How many? 10, 11, 12? I think there's probably about 14 guys that you can say that about. And Jameson Williams, despite a torn ACL in the national championship game, is one of those guys. How many of those wide receivers are in that group? I think it's one other guy, and I think it's Garrett Wilson. So I think when you kind of step back and realize he's going to be available to play, he's way ahead of schedule on his rehab, he's going to be there in person, he knows that good things are about to come his way and that he's going to be selected at least in the top half of the draft. I don't think he makes it past the New York Jets at number 9, or excuse me, at number 10. At number 9 is a different story. I think that's where you're going to find Evan Neal. I think it's so bizarre. All those years with Russell Wilson, you never, ever, ever addressed the offensive line the way you should have. You finally trade Russell Wilson, and with the first pick that you got from that trade, you spend it on a franchise left tackle who's not going to go anywhere for another 10 years. He's going to be your next Walter Jones. It's insane to me. Absolutely insane. Now, I think the Seahawks are the most likely team to make a play for Baker Mayfield after the draft. I don't think Baker will be moved until after the draft. And I think that's the only place that really kind of makes any sense. The Panthers will have a better sense of what their capital is and what they're going, you know, what their roster looks like after the draft as well. And if they like that, then that's the direction they'll go in. But if you're the Panthers and you made the deal for Teddy Bridgewater and then you made the deal for Sam Darnold, like, how many more mid quarterbacks are you going to trade for? Right. You're done with that. You're so done with that. So if I'm them, I'm drafting Kenny Pickett or Malik Willis at the 6th overall pick. and I'm, you know, understanding that this is going to be a long and tedious rebuild, and I've got plenty of quarterbacks around to kind of preserve the quarterback that I have. But when it comes to Evan Neal in Seattle, Seattle's not going to be very good, not for a long time. But at the very least, they're going to have their left tackle, and they're going to be happy to have him, I think. I look around, and I just – it's really the earliest I think he will go unless the Panthers have a change of heart. Now, I've got the Panthers taking Sauce Gardner – or excuse me, not Sauce Gardner, Kenny Pickett. And I think Kenny Pickett is the best-case scenario for them because he can will them through some situations but also be mentally strong enough to withstand the fact that that team's just not going to be very good for a little while, and maybe once the capital catches back up with them, then they'll be solid. But then you go, and the Giants don't need a left tackle. They need an offensive lineman, right? And this is where I know Alabama fans are probably like screaming at the steering wheel. Well, Jacob, he said himself he can play every position except for center. And yes, absolutely. He definitely can. You know who else can? Jonah Williams. You know what Jonah Williams don't do? Play anything other than left tackle. Now, I'm not saying Evan Neal's got that same kind of arrogance. I'm saying there is so much more money to be had at left tackle. So much more. And Ike Ekwonu has sold himself on being somebody that is going to play anything. Evan Neal has sold himself on being a left tackle. You say the right things. You say, oh, I can play right tackle if you need me to. And especially if that means you're the first overall pick on a team that's only committed to their left tackle for one more season. You don't say that to be the right tackle of a team for the next 6 years, you know? So, yeah, that might be taking Evan Neal's words and twisting it, but you have to understand the way this process is done. Yes, Evan Neal can play left guard, right tackle, or left tackle. But he's going to make the most amount of money if he's playing left tackle. So there's no sense in entertaining the idea of going anywhere else. The Falcons don't need a left tackle. And then you're at the Seahawks. You're done, right? I had the Steelers trading up to number 7 to take Malik Willis. I think that's probably the most realistic way for them to do it instead of jumping the Panthers. It's waiting to see what the Panthers do. If the Panthers take Malik Willis, then they'll just sit back and see how the board falls. But if they choose to go Kenny Pickett, which I base that decision not based off of what I want, but based off of the fact that Peter Schrager had mocked them, Kenny Pickett, as well as the odds mock draft that I was pulling from. So I had two sources that were both saying Kenny Pickett. Daniel Jeremiah said something else completely different. It wasn't Malik Willis. So that's what I went with. Was able to get the Steelers to trade up. I don't think they have to give up too much to get to 7 based on the value of what you're doing there. And it works out in the long run for everybody. The Giants end up getting pretty supreme value for George Karloftis at the 20th overall pick. So they don't miss out on too much as far as the needs of what they're going to take at 7, considering Trayvon Walker is completely off the board. It's not even an option at number 7 anymore. What else are you kind of waiting on? Because for a long time, that's what I thought they were going to do, was Ike Ekwonu at 5, Trayvon Walker at 7. Well, if Trayvon's up in the top 3, the pass rusher at that point is either Jermaine Johnson or George Karloftis. Well, how ready are you to bounce on Jermaine Johnson? Because I'm not buying that he's a top 10 guy yet. So maybe it works out. Maybe it's something completely different. Right before the show started, I saw a tweet from my friends at Steelers Depot, quoting Todd McShay. It says, as it stands right now, McShay's sources don't believe there's a team in the top 19 picks that will be drafting a quarterback with no idea what's going to happen. You know how many times I've done mock drafts, like just practice ones, where I have 4 quarterbacks going in the top 10, and now it's like they might have, the Steelers might get the first one at 20 without trading up. That's, what a wild, wild, wild draft season we are having this year. I encourage you, head on over to Tide109.com. That's where the mock draft is. We'll continue to break it down and talk about the Alabama guys, where they're going, other hot stories that are going on concerning the NFL draft. We'll take your phone calls at 205-342-9904. That's where we'll talk to Jeff next here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama sports.
CrowdTap, the place where you can take simple surveys and earn gift cards? Simply by going to crowdtap.com/buzz, you decide how many surveys to answer on your own time and when to redeem your reward points for your favorite gift cards from companies like iTunes, Google Play, Nike, Amazon, and more. Making your opinions work for you has never been easier. The more surveys you take, the more you earn. It's that simple. Go to crowdtap.com/buzz and get started today. That's crowdtap.com/buzz.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm afternoon with a mixture of clouds and sunshine. The high today, 84. Clouds move in tonight. A chance of showers, mainly after midnight. The low at 60. Much cooler tomorrow, mostly cloudy with showers ending during the morning. The high at 68. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow Off the Edge on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for live streams and instant analysis. Off the Edge with Jacob Harrison continues.
Back here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here with you. Mason Woods across the glass. We'll tell you about Alabama Vintage, alabamavtg.com. Check them out online there and spend $60 and get free shipping on your order. Sounds like a pretty good deal to me. You can find all of the great t-shirts and memorabilia, hats, shoes, sweaters, jackets, jerseys. The jersey selection is still one of my most favorite things. So if you're looking for a last-minute throwback jersey to wear to your draft party, I'm probably gonna wear my John Stallworth jersey, or excuse me, Lynn Swan. Which I've got this thing in the closet. I've forgotten which one I've got. That's painful. It's 88. That's Lynn Swan, right? I should know that. This brain excursion moment is brought to you by Alabama Vintage. But check them out, regardless. And it is Lynn Swan. And find them on Instagram as well, at AlabamaVTG. We can keep up with all the latest incoming stock as well as the latest deals. Find them in-store, 2210 University Boulevard, under the Crimson Awning across from City Hall. Let's head out to the hotline and welcome in our friend Jeff, as we usually do on a Monday. What's going on, Jeff?
How's it going, guys? I bet you should be wearing 82. Star Wars from Alabama A&M. You don't need to wear 88. Put that 82 on. He's from Alabama A&M, don't wear that. You don't want to wear 82, huh?
No, Stallworth wore 82, Lynn Swan wore 88, and I have the 88.
Oh, you don't have 82, huh?
Yeah, I got mixed up.
You don't have 82 then, right?
No.
Oh, well, you need to get one then.
I do.
You need to buy one because he's Alabama A&M. Other guys, USC, you don't want to wear with that.
I'm sure you might know this, but do you know the story of why John Stallworth didn't come to the University of Alabama?
No, he made the right decisions.
Made the right decisions. Well, Bear wouldn't recruit him. Stallworth played running. No, it had nothing to do with that. John Mitchell and Wilbur Jackson were already playing here at the time. Anyway, Stallworth played here in Tuscaloosa for the old Black Bears team. In the inner city school, and he had to play every position, played running back and everything else.
No.
And Bear thought he was too small to really be able to produce at Alabama, so he went to A&M. Rest is history.
Yeah, that's where Joe Hall said Larry Bird was too slow. So that's the way it is. So.
Yeah,
missed on some stuff, but we had a big attendance at the USFL. It's been 9,800. We ever did. Packed that stadium, didn't you? Packed it out, didn't you?
I guess so.
Packed it out.
Hey, Mason was there. Mason said it was a good game.
Well, whatever. I mean, how much long do you think it'll last? 6 weeks?
It depends on what their approach is. If their approach is just to be the USFL, not worry about anything else, then they'll do a good job. But if their intent is to eventually work with the NFL or compete with the NFL, or if they can't keep a product that's better than the XFL when it comes around, then they're going to have problems.
I don't see that for spring football. I mean, rattled. We got to go down it. I mean, spring league, and they've been a half a dozen at least in my lifetime. And they've tried it. The second USFL and XFL has come back twice. The AAF and the go down this rat hole.
Well,
I
think the original, not the original, but the original comeback for the XFL, the one from 2020, I think that one would have worked out better had it not been for the pandemic. That was the only thing that shut that down.
I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to work when it comes back. I think they have to start for spring football. It's still null and void. Nobody wants to. I mean, if it was the stadium be packed, they'd have 30,000, would that be better? It'd be packed after time.
Well, I think they've got to have realistic expectations, too. I mean, you know, the NFL wasn't exactly selling out Jerry World in 1922. You know, I mean, you got to start somewhere.
Well, I mean, I know that, but we didn't have television like, you know, we got now.
Right.
That's what we got now.
Yeah.
We didn't have television. We had radios, I mean, you know, and things like that. But, no, I know you're excited about the NFL draft, but I did want to did you see where Tennessee went? Tennessee mess drafted forward after the game this weekend. I told you, producer, did you see that?
No.
They went to the well, I don't know if they're supposed to, but they took a shower in their locker room, but I guess they do, I don't know. And they went in their football locker room, tried on forward of helmets, some of the players. There's figures all over online. I guess they tried the year, last year they beat them. Mm-hmm. Which might have been 19-10. They beat them so long. They lost 18 or 19 to them, whatever, in football. So they said they were in their locker room trying on a Florida football helmet. The baseball players were. The very pictures, they're still online. The guy called in and was talking about it on social media and things like that. So, but that's Tennessee for you. That's their attitude. That's the way they do. So I'm not surprised by it at all. And, you know, Montel got suspended, but, you know, I'm not surprised he did it. But, you know, they'll be a high seed when the NCAA tournament comes. But like a friend of mine told me already, if they don't win it all, it'll be a disappointment. So they got to win the whole thing, or else it'll be a bad season for for Tennessee. But
Mason's showing me the picture now, and I don't. Is that supposed to, like? I get you swept them, but is that supposed to like really serve as trash talk? You're wearing your other team's rivals' gear. That's weird.
They went in their locker room apparently and tried on their helmets. That's what they say.
How the hell did they get into the locker room too? Like what?
I don't know about all that. I'm just saying that's what they say. So like I said, that's Tennessee. That's their fan base.
Yeah.
That's their fan base. When you create a fight song in a Gatlinburg motel, that's what you get. that's half bear, the other half cat. Wild as a mink, but sweet as soda pop. I still dream about that. How can you dream about something that's in the refrigerator? Soda pop. I don't know if I can dream about that. Could you?
No. I don't think so.
One week I'll call up and I got a little Tennessee Ole Miss game this last football season. I pin a little ditty called Tennessee Debris and I'll sing that for y'all. Y'all keep that in y'all's archive. Y'all play Alabama next fall. Y'all keep that in the archive. And I pin a little song about the Tennessee trash game, as I call it. Went to Tennessee through the mustard bottles and the golf balls Thanksgiving. Y'all hang in there, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right, Jeff. Take it easy. He really looking ahead. He told me I have a good weekend on Monday. I'm gonna have a good weekend. But listen, this is how serious the NFL draft is. Okay, every single year, my wife's like, "What are you doing for the NFL draft?" Like she does, not because she knows it's coming up. It's because I mentioned this is what I'm doing for the NFL draft, and she's like, "Okay, well, what days is it? You know, where are you gonna be? Like so on and so forth." Because I always, now I'm working, but before it was like I'd always just go out with the guys and eat, you know, eat wings, drink beer, watch the NFL draft, and scream at the TV when the Steelers come up. But now it's like, okay, what are you doing? Let's make sure all the plans are in favor. You know what my wife is doing this weekend? She's working. She usually has Saturday off, works on Sunday. But this weekend, she is going to take Wednesday off before the draft and work on Saturday while I'm at home watching all of day three, because day three lasts all day. And it is the fourth through seventh rounds. It is the nobody's getting drafted. But, hey, it matters. It matters. That's when the bulk of the picks are. It's where all the superstars come from. That's where George Kittle came from, right? It's where Tom Brady came from. I'm excited. I'm so pumped for the NFL draft. Tom, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Jacob, what's up?
Not much, man. Just counting the minutes till Thursday.
Let me ask you this. Who was who was your guest on last week? He was a lawyer, not an agent, an expert on NIL and stuff like that. What was that guy's name? I can't remember.
You caught me off guard. I'm having trouble remembering his name at the moment as well. Fedlam is his last name. I know Fedlam is his last name.
That's him. And you know, you were going through a whole diatribe that kind of threw me for a loop. You were talking about Coach Stallings and Coach Saban and all like that. And I tried to get in the other day and straighten you out. But
It was a risky maneuver, I will tell you that.
The guys there were protecting you, and they shielded you from my phone call.
I tried to say as many times as I could with all respect and love to Gene Stallings.
Jacob, you cannot speak ill of Coach Stallings.
I wasn't speaking ill of Gene or of Coach, excuse me. I was more so of the idea of what he was representing and why Nick Saban, you know, is so successful. It's because he doesn't have that same idea.
Jacob, we've been conversating for a pretty good while.
Yeah.
And the bottom, you know me, and from my conversations in the past, you know I'm a bottom line guy.
Yep.
I go straight to the bottom line, add everything up, and then go to the bottom line, okay? Now, here it is. Here's the bottom line with Coach Stallings. And then on your conversation, you threw Coach Saban in there about NIL. And you were talking about that's the old way. We can't do it that way anymore. Things change. Yeah, and you're right. But here's where you missed it.
Okay.
Coach Stallings is on a ranch in Paris, Texas, correct?
Yep.
He's not looking for a job.
Right.
He's through working. He's filled up the Bank of Paris with money, and he ain't got to work. He ain't worried about getting up and going to a job. Now,
he's still out on the tractor, though. He's still working.
He don't even drive a tractor anymore. He goes out on a golf cart and makes sure that everybody else is doing what they should do.
Right, right.
Okay. Now, you can do that sort of thing when you got three banks full of money. And, But here's the thing. Coach Stallings is not looking for a job. He's not looking to work, and he's well off and don't have to worry about that sort of thing. Coach Saban, on the other hand, makes the changes and adapts to where the game is going on this day and age because he wants to continue to work.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to work, then you've got to meet the requirements of the workplace if you're going to keep your job.
Right.
There's the difference. Jacob.
No, and I agree. What was more of the overarching point is, like I said, it's all love and respect for Coach Stallings. I wear it with a badge of honor that he has chewed me out before, right? Like, there's only so many people that get to say that. What the thing is that there are coaches that do coach today, that do have jobs, and instead of doing like Nick Saban does and says, well, we need to find a solution, but I'm going to take advantage of it while I got it, they just complain about the tampering and about this, that, and the other. It's like, dude, just do your job. Just evolve and just go with it. Because if you're so stuck on this isn't college football, then you're going to be doing the same thing Gene Stallings is doing. And he's earned the right to sit down and live a life of luxury and you know, chill out for the rest of his life. You haven't done that yet. Whatever your name is, you're not Nick Saban. You're not Kirby Smart. You haven't earned that yet because you don't have any rings. Those are the only two guys that have them right now. So what are you see what I'm saying now? Like, it's not so much that Gene Stallings is so wrong and I'm berating him. It's, I understand why he has that thought process. He coached 30 years ago, right? Before I was even alive, this dude won a national championship. It's understandable for him to not want to see all this exotic change. But for somebody that is coaching right now, if you don't want to see that exotic change, buddy, you in the wrong business.
Well, you made my point. And the thing about it is you got Jay Wright, you got Coach Williams from North Carolina, you got Coach K from Duke and others, and they said, you know what, we don't want to deal with this. We're going to retire. We're going to get out of business. Now, they made the choice. They didn't have to do that, but they made the choice. Now, for people that don't want to adapt, that still want to work, you got to make the choice. Either you got to adapt or die. Let's go back to the dinosaur story that Coach Saban put out during the pandemic. And when he told the assistant coaches on his staff, he said, "How many dinosaurs did you guys see on the way to work this morning?" They said, "None." And he said, "The reason is they did not adapt." You feel me?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the number one thing I praise about Nick Saban is his ability to evolve. Right.
If you're going to stay in a game, you better evolve and meet the requirements that's being thrown at you to keep good players and to keep a good team headed.
Yeah. It's that simple. NIL writes itself. These players do earn what they're being given. If you're NIL able to fund that, then you're going to get the best players. And right. Like I've said 100 times, like that's the way it's kind of always been, but now it's just out in the open. So if you don't like the way it is, then you never liked college football to begin with, except for the fact that you didn't have to see this stuff. It's the same exact thing now. So if you're a part of the rich and the elite, and we here at Alabama are at the top of that scale, we got nothing to worry about.
Right.
Nothing to be upset about, right? Let's just watch these crazy deals that these kids sign. Doesn't matter if the other half doesn't get anything out of it. This isn't a poke fun at Gary, but Gary brought it up. You know, is BMW getting anything out of sponsoring Bryce Young? Well, does Subway get anything out of sponsoring Tom Brady? No, not really. It's a mutual thing. So, and yeah, it favors one party a little bit more, but either way it works out. So if they're willing to agree to that, let them do it. It's the American way.
I agree 100%. I'm for the players being able to make any and all that they can because I agree with you. It's the American way. It's capitalism, and that's the way it should be. Far too long, they've been shunned and put away from the pot of money that's been going around in college athletics, and I'm all for them being able to make money. Coach Saban said that he's all for them making money. The rub is the other stuff, and I don't want to go into that today. But anyway, thought I'd call in and see what you thought about that.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate you putting me in my place and making sure all is understood well, Tom.
See you, buddy.
Absolutely. Tom helping us out there. And, yeah, I can't say it enough because I knew what I was doing was dangerous territory. If you, like, that's the fun of radio. You don't know when somebody turns on the radio. You don't know what point of the conversation. So if you hear me repeat myself or any of our hosts repeat themselves, it's usually a CYA move to make sure that you understand the full scope of the conversation. I would never, ever, ever willingly get on these airwaves and talk trash about Gene Stallings. It's a perspective of the fact that his ideology is outdated when it comes to college athletics today. But that's an understandable point. If you're today's coach, if you're, especially if you're early on, man, if you're in your 40s or 50s, like you've got to just straighten up and look at the scope of what college athletics is today. Otherwise, man, go to high school. If you want to coach players that do it for nothing but the love of the game, go to high school. That's where all those kids are. But when we start talking about you have to be good enough to be able to do this, then you start getting guys that aren't just doing it for the love of the game. You start getting guys who are doing it for the love of what the game can give them. And then you get to the NFL, and everybody wants to talk about, well, that's all the NFL is, and it's not true. But it plays a big factor into why so many people that aren't around professional teams don't like professional sports. But in reality, what has happened is these amateur sports and college athletics have now become professional. And it's not so chaotic, and it's not so wild that it damages what the sport is. It doesn't change that we come out on a Saturday 110,000 strong, and which is like 40,000 more than like the NFL is going to put out on a Sunday, and cheer on the guys wearing Crimson A's and the numbers on the side of their helmet, right? With the traditions of Big Al and the band and everything else that makes college football unique in what it is. It doesn't matter that Bryce Young is pulling in 8-9 figures a year. He's still the quarterback of the Alabama Crimson Tide, and this time next year, he won't be. And it'll be somebody else. It'll be Jalen Milroe or Ty Simpson. And then 2 years from now, it won't be one of them. It'll be Arch Manning or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what makes college football what it is. And Nick Saban's going to be here for as long as he wants to because he is willing to evolve. And if college football ever got to a point where he said, I'm done, I'm so done with all of these crazy evolutions to undermine me, then he would probably go to sleep, wake up the next morning and realize how silly that is, get back to work and kick everybody's ass. Because he's not about to let the game make him quit. He'll never let that happen. So on the entire surface of it all, all of this change only it serves to feed the rich in the sport. But it's still the same status quo. In my eyes, nothing has really changed. We've just opened up. We've opened up and know where the money is coming from. And if you don't like that there's so much money in college athletics, bro, you just got to open your eyes. Because there's a lot of money in universities. A lot. A lot, a lot. Because... And this is going to sound really plain and obvious, but because they spit out professionals who go out into the work field and pay money back to their universities to ensure that they're good at things that they care about, whether it's their own academic interest or it's their athletic interests. So the rich serve to feed into themselves because they've earned that right. So they got a quality education, went on to get a good job and feed back into it. Like, what are we talking about? Like, this isn't fair. It is not Alabama's fault that New Mexico State isn't a quality program. It's not. It's not Alabama's fault that Mercer's not in comparison. Like, for what they are, yeah, sure. Like, dude, you can go down to Montgomery and get a quality education at Faulkner, depending on what you need. And, like, you can go get into the workforce, right? But there's a gazillion walks in life, but there are only certain walks that lead you through Tuscaloosa and onto the campus of the University of Alabama, and then through Bryant-Denny Stadium onto the NFL to make millions of dollars. Yeah, it's split off. Yeah, it's not completely fair, but man, that's life. You gotta have the route in front of you and the ability to walk it. Because if you don't, man, you got to take another route. That's the way it is. That's life and football. It's just reality. I just try to live in it, you know? Let's take a break. We'll come back, continue the conversation on the mock draft. We appreciate Tom making me go like super philosophical on life and football there. I appreciate it. I love it. It's a lot of fun. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama sports.
You're listening to Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Back here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Who's shocked that Herb Jones is taking over the NBA? Because it ain't me. Not on Herb. Listen, here's the coolest thing about all that. I love, first of all, that the Pelicans are doing the one thing that most NBA teams with an eight seed tend not to do, and that's actually try to win the damn series. But with taking on the Suns means you have to take on a legend in Chris Paul. Like, whether you and look, yeah, Joe's already throwing hats at me.
What about Bob Cousy?
I just say it. Look, you don't have You don't have to like Chris Paul. Don't like Chris Paul. That's your prerogative. But he's a legend, right? He's a loser. He's definitely a loser.
Wrong L word. Loser.
He's definitely a loser. But he's a legendary loser, right? Eli Manning was a loser in a lot of ways too. I mean,
Eli has two championships.
He does. He does.
Chris Paul made the finals for the first time in his career ever last year.
How many bad teams did he play for that he took to the playoffs?
Bad a lot. Teams, a legend would take him make deep runs.
He did. I mean, deep runs.
What did it do with the Rockets and James Harden? Nothing.
What does that say about James Harden, too? That says a lot about James Harden, too.
Harden made it to the finals way before Chris Paul.
With who? With KD and Westbrook? look, dude.
I'm just saying, Chris Paul, loser, overrated.
Yes.
Top 5 point guard in the ever.
I'm not saying nothing like that. I don't have the authority to say something like that. Either way, I don't think you can tell the story of the NBA without him.
That team would be nothing without Devin Booker. I mean,
true. Very true. DeAndre Ayton? Yeah. I get it. Dude, he's 36 years old. Like, he's not the reason they're there. He's still he's a legend. And the legend offered to get Herb Jones up off the court, and Herb refused. Now, look, that you got to watch it. Otherwise, you'll think that Herb was being a jerk. It's incredible. It is incredible. And to hear guys like Kendrick Perkins' opinion only goes so far. Don't get me wrong. But, hear guys that are, constantly saying, this dude is going to win Defensive Player of the Year one year. He is, without a doubt, one of the best defensive players in all of basketball right now. It's just, it's incredible. It's incredible to hear. And it's so cool because, you knew he was going to be underrated headed into the league and, being drafted in the second round, all that sort of stuff. What's bizarre is, Zion was drafted, A, because that's how the NBA works, but B, because he was the guy that was supposed to save the New Orleans Pelicans. And instead, a couple of trades have worked out. Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum, I'm not going to act like they don't exist. Those are fantastic additions. But this team doesn't even need its best player, theoretically its best player, in Zion Johnson, right? I started following the Pelicans a little bit closer because of Zion. And then it got better when Kyra was drafted, and then it was done deal when Herb got drafted. They don't even need Zion. All this attention that gets pushed on Ben Simmons, I don't think it goes to Zion enough. Dude should be playing. Drop a few LBs, buddy. Get on the court.
I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that he's ready to play and the Pelicans are telling him not to play.
So what's the difference between him and Ben Simmons?
I think Ben Simmons is wussing out.
Again, what's the difference?
Because I think Zion's trying to play, and the Pelicans are restricting him because they don't want him to get hurt again. They're sitting him.
Fear is a wild tool. What I'm saying is, could you tell Tom Brady? Could you tell Patrick Mahomes? Could you tell Peyton Manning? Could you tell Russell Wilson? No.
In their second season in the NBA or league, maybe.
Didn't Patrick Mahomes go to a Super Bowl in his second season?
But what if he had been hurt? I'm just saying. I think it goes more towards Ben Simmons than it should towards Zion. I think Zion, I cut him a little more slack.
I might not be remembering this correctly, but didn't Mahomes hurt his knee during the Super Bowl season? So, imagine saying, you can't come back until the playoffs. And then when you get to the playoffs, you're like, it's too risky. What? You're a long-term investment. Bro, your chance to win a title is right now.
Do you think that they're just happy with their core and they're like, we don't need Zion. We don't want to mess with what we got.
Well, if Zion can be what Zion's supposed to be and you've got a productive group around him, you can let this thing last longer than the Toronto Raptors did and have a small market team that can win a couple of championships. Look at what's happened with the Suns. Right? Why would Devin Booker want to leave? He's got a legend to play with who's helping him get a championship. It's all because Joe's faces, man, with this. Whew. Check out the mock draft, Tide109.com. It's the final mock. Tomorrow we'll talk with AJ Spur. We got Ryan Roberts on Wednesday. The NFL live draft show will be Thursday night in congruency with the NFL draft itself. Myself, Mason Woods, J.R. Moore, and Kim Rankin will all be with us. Y'all take it easy. Enjoy the Jay Barker Show. It's up next here on Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama sports.
Local radio. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm afternoon with a mixture of clouds and sunshine. The high today, 84. Clouds move in tonight. A chance of showers, mainly after midnight. The low at 60. Much cooler tomorrow, mostly cloudy with showers ending during the morning. The high at 68. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Thank you for listening to our